everybody, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Look Back and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, the title explains everything for you. It is a podcast, and I talk about animation, specifically the latest news that happened this week. So, for today's episode, we are going to look into the Best Animated Feature category that has been announced for the 2016 Golden Globes, and then we're going to be looking into a couple of trailers, including the first look into Dawn of the Croods, and also Kubo and the Two Strings, sorry about that. Next up, we're going to be looking about the Red Turtle, which Studio Ghibli decided to give a helping hand. And then finally, we will end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. So, first things first, we're going to be looking into the Golden Globes, or as everybody refers to it, the practice run before the Oscars. So basically, with the Golden Globes, they have announced plenty of their nominations, and of course, a lot of them include like Carol, Room, Spotlight, Steve Jobs, Mad Max Fury Road, and all that kind of stuff. But the one nominee that we are, well, the one category that we're going to be looking into is going to be for Best Motion Picture Animator, or Best Animated Feature. And with this list, we pretty much got note by note the exact same one that we got from the Annie Awards. And the nominees that we got in here include Anomalisa, The Good Dinosaur, Inside Out, The Peanuts Movie, and Shaun the Sheep Movie. So, like I said, it's pretty much the exact same thing as the one for Best Animated Feature at the Annie Awards. And chances are there's not going to be any surprise here. I'm going to say this right now. Inside Out is going to win. But sometimes you never know with the Golden Globes. Sometimes they'll go to a completely different direction. But usually they can have a good track record with like who would win and stuff like that. So I'm going to say right now, it's the easily predictable one. It's going to be Inside Out, plus the fact that it really is good. But I don't know, I feel like I shouldn't immediately have a say on this because I have yet to check out Anomalisa, but even with that, I'm just going to go with the obvious result, which is Inside Out. But the one interesting thing about the categories right here, some of you might be wondering if the Annie Awards and the Golden Globes, they have the same thing when it comes to Best Animated Feature. Is it going to be the same thing for the Oscars? Will we be seeing these same five categories with Anomalisa, The Good Dinosaur, Inside Out, Peanuts Movie, and Shaun the Sheep Movie? Well, to that I say, maybe not. I'm a little hesitant to say yes, because the one thing with the Academy Awards is that they would recognize at least one independent animated feature. I know some can technically say that Anomalisa is one, but, well, not necessarily anymore, thanks to Paramount Pictures decide to distribute it. So, I'm thinking that what could possibly happen is that they're going to replace The Good Dinosaur and put in one of the independent films. A good example is the ones in the Annie Awards with the new category of Best Independent Animated Feature. So it could possibly be either Boy and the Beast or Boy and His World or Khalil Gibran's The Prophet or even When Marnie Was There. So that's pretty much my prediction. But like, at least I know for a fact Inside Out will definitely get a nomination. Anomalisa is getting major press, so it's highly likely. Shaun the Sheep Movie, I know it's going to get a nomination because that is your, you gotta have at least one stop motion film in there. But yeah, I would definitely say that Inside Out is probably the obvious shoe-in, but Before I say anything, I really need to check out Anomalisa. At least that one, I know that they will release it sometime in January. Not sure if they will do it early January or somewhere in between Kung Fu Panda 3 and Norm of the North, or maybe at the same time as one of those movies. I don't know, but we'll just have to wait and see. But as for the Golden Globes itself, we'll just have to wait and see when it's going to be announced with Ricky Gervais as the host. I believe it's... Crap, it's escaping me. Oh, yes, here it is. When it's going to be announced... Well, when the entire show will start on January 10th, 2016. Now, our next story is going to be about a brand new show that DreamWorks is going to be released. And it's going to be an all-new Netflix-exclusive show, which is Dawn of the Croods. Now, as you guys probably know about the Croods, it's previously one of the movies that they've done back in 2013. It did do pretty well for itself. It did actually end up being successful. It was the successor that Chris Sanders has done after working on How to Train Your Dragon. But now we actually got the follow-up to it, which, well, not the follow-up. This is the prequel, actually, before they actually went on to this all-new adventure to find a new home, which is Dawn of the Croods. And this is going to be all 2D, and they even got Brendan Hay from Robot Chicken and the Daily Show, and they got Chuck Austin from Steven Universe to be the producers. Now, what's actually interesting about Dawn of the Croods is that since it is 2D animated, I will admit, they surprisingly look a lot better as 2D instead of like being computer animated. I always thought that for some reason, the design of the main characters of the Croods, they look rather weird. They look like weird ragdolls or something like that, which is honestly weird because... All the animals, like the unique beasts in there, they look amazingly good. And usually with Chris Sanders' designs, they look great on their own. But for some reason, the design of the Croods, they don't really connect as well. But in 2D, they actually look pretty fine. But for the show itself, from what I've got in the trailers, it just... I don't know. It just looks weird. It's like your typical kids show or something like that, where it's mostly comedic, but I'm sure it's going to be really fascinating for people who love the Croods movie. Like, they're going to learn about the origins of, like, who these characters are and stuff like that. So, it's going to be fascinating, but I will say, like, some of the jokes... they're pretty hit and miss, especially like the last one when they decided to do that little gag with the grandma character being completely naked. Like, you only see her hairy legs, but still, like, that is an image that I do not need. DreamWorks, why do you do this to me? But yeah, I don't know, maybe it doesn't seem as appealing to me, but I'm sure like it'll definitely interest the Croods fans. Like, unfortunately, like, maybe they're not going to focus a lot on the creatures themselves like they did in the movie, but, like, it'll be more about the characters. But, yeah, we'll see. But, well, also, I think it's important to note that, of course, like, the entire cast has to be replaced. Like, you're not going to get, like, Emily Blunt or Nicolas Cage in this. It's pretty obvious that these are new characters, so... Well, new voice actors for the characters. So, like, don't expect that they sound exactly alike. They didn't do much of a job to find, like, impersonators and stuff like that. It's just, I don't know. But then again, like, DreamWorks is seriously cranking up all those, like, Netflix-exclusive shows. Especially those that are from their movies. Like, they do have original ones like VeggieTales in the House and Dino Trucks, but then they also got some based on their movies like All Hail King Julian. They've already done like Penguins of Madagascar. They've done one for Turbo for some reason. They just released a new one with Mr. Peabody and Sherman, and now we're getting the Croods. So I don't know, like, if you guys are fans of the Croods, then I'm sure this is something that you guys will be enjoying. And the series will make its entire debut on Netflix when it will be released on Christmas Eve. Now, when it comes to our next story right here, I didn't really know what to expect. But then finally, I saw the teaser for it, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm pretty much sold. I'm pretty excited for this right now. And what I am talking about is Kubo and the Two Strings. If you don't know what this is the brand new stop motion animated feature by Laika, and it will mark as the directorial debut of Travis Knight, who is pretty much the John Lasseter of Laika. He is the entire CEO. And the movie will be written by Mark Hames, which this is his first time writing it. He used to be just a studio executive. And it will also be written by Chris Butler, who was the writer and co-writer of Paranorman. So, some of you may not really know about what Kubo and the Two Strings is, and it's just really fascinating. I think the best way to put it is that imagine a stop-motion Samurai Jack, because obviously it is very Japanese-inspired. The visuals are just phenomenal. It looks like it'll have a cast of very unique characters. They already got an interesting list of celebrities voicing it. They got Charlize Theron, Ralph Fiennes, Rooney Mara, George Takei, and also Matthew McConaughey, which is going to be, well, technically it will be his first, but this is the second animated feature announced that he'll be in. That will be, well, for a 2016 animated feature that he will be featured in, right next to Illumination Sing, which is going to be released at the end of Christmas, the end of 2016. But it is so fascinating. We don't really know a lot about the story itself. We do have a bit of a synopsis of the film's plot, but I don't really want to read it, because the less I know about it, the better, because I want to keep, like, I'll try as much as I can to keep all the surprises when the movie will be released, but just from what I've seen in the trailers, it's just fascinating. It does feature some computer animation, mostly from the effects on the water and stuff like that, but it looks amazing. It looks like it will be this epic Japanese fantasy that will, like, pretty much dive into many of its mythologies and stuff like that, but it looks incredible. I'm just gonna say this, you guys need to see this for yourself. It's actually really fascinating, and I cannot wait. And plus the fact that Laika does have a pretty good track record. I mean, they've only really, like, this is just their fourth movie, but I gotta say, I really had a blast watching movies like Coraline, Paranorman, and The Box Trolls. So I really am excited to see what they got with Kubo. And I'm really interested to know, like, what Travis has in store for us as a film director. I mean, like, when I did Animation Look Back, The Best of Stop Motion, and I looked upon Laika, and also the studio that was before it, which was Will Vinton Studios, he has a very interesting history. Like, his father was, I think, the founder of Nike, Phil Knight, and then, like, he wanted to be a rapper, but then things didn't work out that much on that department, so he decided to go to... Like, he decided to start working on animation, and he literally climbed up the ranks, up to the point to be the CEO, and he's also the head of animation. This dude is a very talented animator, may I add. So, I really want to see what he has, like, as a director. So, I really want to see this creative side of Travis Knight. I just feel like he is such a fascinating person in the field of animation. So automatically Kubo is on my list of one of the most anticipated movies in 2016, right next to films like Kung Fu Panda 3 and Moana and maybe Angry Birds. But we'll just have to wait and see what the movie will have in store for us when it will be released on August 19th, 2016. Now, our next story is going to be a bit of an interesting one, I will say. Now, this is not necessarily an anime per se, but it's mostly involved with Studio Ghibli. And considering that we are in the post era of them always making animated features, it will be interesting to see what they like what they're planning so far, and like seeing bits of Studio Ghibli like for now is going to be always fascinating. Not too long ago they did announce that they're going to make Ni no Kuni 2. We know that Hayao Miyazaki is going to be working on a computer animated short for the Ghibli Museum, but apparently also they are working on a movie called The Red Turtle. And apparently what's going to be going on in there is that it will be a movie not by like any of the heads at Studio Ghibli. This is made by a Dutch animator and director, Michael Dudok de Wit. This is the man who brought us animated shorts such as The Monk and the Fish and Father and Daughter. In fact, Father and Daughter actually won Best Animated Short at the Oscars in 2001. So we are talking about a guy like who knows his deal with animation. And as for The Red Turtle, believe it or not, like he did momentarily went to, I think he moved, where was it? Kogane. He moved to Kogane in Tokyo. So he can go into Studio Ghibli and have them help out on his movie, in which they actually got Isao Takahata to really help out some stuff. And it was like his role in there was described as the artistic producer. And by the way, just on a side note, that Pascal Ferran of Bird People, he's pretty much the writer of the script. And now the movie is pretty much finishing up in France. So I will say that, like I said before, it's fascinating to see Studio Ghibli, like, what they're pretty much doing now. Everybody loves Studio Ghibli at this point. We want to know we want answers to know what are they going to do, because they did announce that they're in a hiatus. Their last official movie that they've released so far was When Marnie Was There. So, it's going to be fascinating to see, like, how they helped out in terms of The Red Turtle. And with Isao Takahata, he is pretty much the number one guy that knows how to go outside of the realm of what we know in terms of making animated features. I mean, like, he loves to experiment with all kinds of different things, especially with movies like Grave of the Fireflies, My Neighbor the Yamadas, Pompoko, and his final feature film, which is The Tale of the Princess Kaguya. So it's definitely fascinating, but the only thing that we know so far in terms of its release, Toho did announce that the film will be released in Japan on September 2016. Everywhere else in the world, well, we'll just have to wait and see on that. Now, before we end things off, I would like to mention about Matt's pick of the week. And this one is going to be a little bit strange. Now, before I get into why this is the pick of the week, let me just start off with a story. Okay, so apparently it's about this guy named Peter Robbins. And he has been sent to jail. Well, actually, he has been sent to prison for a total of 4 years and 8 months. And the reason for that is because he pretty much got a history of criminal activity. It all started out that he was stalking his ex-girlfriend and a plastic surgeon because he was really not happy with a surgery that she got for breast enlargement. So he pretty much ended up stalking them, and he ended up doing a bunch of other nasty things, like he was sending out threatening letters, and he also hired a hitman, which luckily nobody died at that point. He started out being arrested on January 2013, and he even mentioned that, like, like, this madness pretty much happened. His act of stalking, hiring a hitman, and, like, sending out threatening letters was because he had bipolar. He said, this is what happens when you are bipolar. You behave as if you are on drugs. I want justice to be served, but I'm mentally ill. To stick me 3 years into state prison is not benefiting the justice system. I feel I'm entitled at least a second chance. So, yeah, basically, the dude is nuts. He is, well, he's obviously, like he said, he is mentally ill, and now he is in prison, well, for basically the right reasons. But at this point, now I know what you guys are wondering. What the fridge does this have to do with animation? Like, why am I even mentioning about this Peter Robbins guy? Well, this is when things are pretty interesting. Peter Robbins, believe it or not, maybe he's not the first, but he is actually the voice of Charlie Brown, and, like, not just any voice of Charlie Brown. He is the legit voice of Charlie Brown for A Charlie Brown Christmas and It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. So, yeah, just imagine that. Like, Charlie Brown is now sent to prison because when he's older, he becomes this psychotic stalker. And maybe someone who legitimately has bipolar can clarify if this is actually the case, if he would end up going around stalking people and sending in threatening messages and putting a hit on, like, I think it was the San Diego County Sheriff. But I don't know. I'm not going to touch into that, but I know that he definitely is mentally ill. But yeah, Charlie Brown is now sent to prison. But the real reason why I brought this up, I feel like this is such an embarrassing moment in the history of Peanuts, because keep in mind, 2015 is supposed to be a big year for Peanuts. This is supposed to be a landmark year, even, because there's like big events and several anniversaries that had to be celebrated. For Peanuts itself, it is the 65th anniversary ever since the first comic. It is the 50th anniversary of A Peanuts Christmas, and it is also the premiere year of the Peanuts movie by Blue Sky Studios, which many people are claiming is one of the best animated features of the year, like right up there with Anomalisa and Inside Out. But then we got this one screwed up moment where the voice of Charlie Brown has to be sent to jail. In many ways, it's a lot like Charlie Brown himself, where somehow you're getting, like, you know, you work hard on trying to get things right, and then at the end, you just got that one little screw up that just seems to ruin everything. It's like that one little awkward moment that you have to bring up. That, oh yeah, did you enjoy the 50th anniversary of a Charlie Brown Christmas? Great. Well, now that Charlie Brown is sent to prison. Oh my god. I don't think it's intentional, but I feel like it's such an unfortunate coincidence. That's all it is. It's such an unfortunate coincidence that this has to happen at the same time that all this is going on. So, we'll just have to wait and see that. I don't know if Peter Robbins is going to try again to get into court and ask to leave, but yeah. Like, at this point, enjoy a Charlie Brown Christmas. Christmas time is here. Charlie Brown's in jail. Oh my god, I can be cruelly evil sometimes. And that is all I've got for this week, so thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work on film-book.com. Just search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at Animat505. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, do you mind just go and please rate and review this episode? That would be very nice of you. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button on our video and just leave us a little comment on your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next week, see you later, dudes!